AI PCs built for business with Intel Core Ultra processors and Intel vPro are optimized for hundreds of AI apps and tools to boost user productivity, collaboration, and creativity. No product can be absolutely secure. Learn more at intel.com/ITheroes.
It's blue skies for Novo Nordisk as the maker of Ozempic and Wegovy reports strong demand for its blockbuster drugs.
This morning, Novo talked about a quadrupling of new patients starting Wegovy on a weekly basis in the United States. Secondly, growth is going to come from really continuing to add data to the library for these drugs that you not only lose weight, but you have benefits across all sorts of other health outcomes.
Plus, ExxonMobil reaches an agreement to close its mega deal for Pioneer. And cue the music as TikTok and Universal Music make nice. It's Thursday, May 2nd. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We are exclusively reporting that Chubb, the insurer of Baltimore's collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, is preparing to make a $350 million payout to the state of Maryland, choosing to pay the full amount of the coverage quickly rather than waiting for rebuilding to begin. It is the first large payout in what's likely to be a years-long fight over who bears the more than $1 billion in estimated costs associated with the bridge's March collapse after it was struck by a cargo ship, killing six people. Chubb, along with the state and the families of the victims of the crash, will likely sue the ship owner and others to recoup losses. Universal Music Group has reached an agreement with TikTok that will see Universal's artists and song catalogs return to the social media platform. The companies said the new licensing pact will result in improved remuneration for Universal songwriters and artists alongside new promotional and engagement opportunities. The deal comes after the companies failed to reach agreement on a previous licensing contract, which led Universal to pull all of its artists' songs off TikTok at the beginning of February, a showdown that put to the test which of the powerful companies has more leverage in the streaming era. ExxonMobil is set to close its $60 billion mega deal for Pioneer Natural Resources after reaching an agreement with antitrust enforcers that leaves former Pioneer CEO Scott Sheffield off the board of directors. That is according to people familiar with the matter, who added that the Federal Trade Commission is set to allege as soon as this week that Sheffield engaged in collusive activity that could have raised the price of oil. The allegations will include that Sheffield sent hundreds of messages to representatives of the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries about market dynamics, including pricing and production levels. There is no allegation of any wrongdoing by Exxon, according to the People, and Sheffield declined to comment. With the filing of the agreement with the FTC, the deal, which will see Exxon acquire Pioneer's prolific oil land in the Midland Basin of West Texas, could close within days. And in other news from the oil industry, Shell reported better-than-expected earnings this morning and kicked off a $3.5 billion share buyback program. WSJ Energy reporter Jenny Strasberg says this is part of a continued push from oil majors to reward investors.
We had Chevron and Exxon results on Friday. We're seeing the impact of lower natural gas prices, mixed results in refining, but we're seeing those record profits from the super majors that we saw post-COVID and boosted by Russia's war in Ukraine. Those are coming down. These majors are almost beating analysts' expectations, but they're not printing the same level of just eye-popping profits that set records in 22 and 23. So Shell continues to keep those buybacks and dividends flowing. The almighty cash returns that our investors are demanding, that's not abating. So despite profits coming down from records, these companies are under a lot of pressure to keep that cash flowing back to investors.
And Microsoft is investing $2.2 billion in cloud and artificial intelligence infrastructure in Malaysia, an announcement that comes close on the heels of plans for new spending in Indonesia and Thailand. The investments in Malaysia will help meet growing demand for cloud computing services and provide AI skills training to 200,000 people. It is Microsoft's single biggest investment in the country and comes after its first quarter capital expenditures jumped an area that investors are paying special attention to this quarter as tech giants race to develop their AI capabilities. Coming up, we'll go inside Novo Nordisk's earnings and discuss what's next for its blockbuster drugs Wegovy and Ozempic after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Danish pharma giant Novo Nordisk has raised its full-year guidance as strong sales of its popular obesity treatment Wegovy and diabetes drug Ozempic solidify its place as one of the world's most valuable companies. Ozempic Q1 sales were up 42% on the year, while Wegovy's sales more than doubled, with demand showing no signs of abating. Novo shares, meanwhile, are already up nearly 30% so far this year, but some analysts think the company still has room to run. And among them is Emily Field, the head of European Pharmaceutical Equity Research at Barclays Investment Bank. Emily, thank you for joining us this morning. In spite of Novo's recent success, you see room for growth here. What is the upside case as you see it?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And we think that upside, particularly in their obesity business, is going to come from a number of factors. The one that we're focused on most at the moment really is the supply ramp. This morning, Novo talked about a quadrupling of new patients starting Wegovy on a weekly basis in the United States. Secondly, growth is going to come from really continuing to add data to the library for these drugs that you not only lose weight, but you have benefits across all sorts of other health outcomes. We recently saw the SELECT cardiovascular study added to the label for Wegovy in the United States. And within a matter of weeks, that opened up coverage to the Medicare population, which was actually a bit of a surprise how quickly they did that, as Medicare currently isn't allowed to cover drugs for just obesity. And then the last bit is certainly the next generation drugs. Wegovy, you lose about 15% of your body weight in the clinical trials. Novo's next generation drug, which is called CagriSema, will be reporting their first pivotal results towards the end of this year. And what Novo has targeted is a floor of 25% weight loss. So we're really looking forward to seeing that data and whether that increased level of weight loss could have even more health benefits.
And on that last bit, innovation still occurring at a pretty rapid clip here. What else should we be watching for that could strengthen the outlook for these drugs?
Yeah, I think things that both Novo and competitors are exploring is, could we see drugs that have less side effects? It's been obviously widely reported that a lot of patients have to stop taking these drugs because they do make people feel pretty sick at the beginning. Most people get through that, but a lot of people can't. And then also another thing that Novo hasn't talked about, but Lilly has, is this whole phenomenon of weight loss quality. You know, when you lose weight, you lose fat, but you also lose muscle. That's another area that we're looking forward to learning about more in the years ahead.
You mentioned a surge in uptake for Wegovy in the U.S., though we should note it's an expensive treatment. It has side effects. People also might come off it after achieving weight loss. How does that factor into Novo's forecasting?
Yeah, I would say that that is certainly one of the biggest unknown variables for us in terms of assessing the potential for this market. Is Novo refers to it as stay time, meaning how long do people actually stay taking these drugs? In the U.S., they estimate average stay time right now is actually only 6 months, but they had a big asterisk next to that and said, well, it's 6 months in a supply-constrained environment with building insurance coverage. So we think that Wegovy will probably shake out sometime between 1 and 4 years, but we'll probably learn that in the years ahead. As there's more supply, people are on the drugs for longer.
And I've got to ask, you talk about this sort of virtuous cycle that these drugs can maybe unlock for some patients, helping address other medical concerns, maybe so successfully they might discontinue treatment of other drugs. Is that something we're seeing at all with these GLP-1s, either for Novo or for competitors?
Yeah, great question, because I keep seeing more and more reports about how obesity really is tied to so many diseases, types of cancers, obviously the cardiovascular impact. But I would say from a market perspective, where people have really been focused has been actually the medical devices universe. So you've seen overhangs on the dialysis companies. You've seen overhangs on companies that make insulin delivery pumps, because one of the benefits of taking Wegovy is that you're much less likely to progress to type 2 diabetes. We also just saw the results of Lilly's study in obstructive sleep apnea. So stocks that produce CPAP machines used in sleep apnea have had a lot of movement on the back of all these results. So not so much a bleed over into pharma yet, although that is certainly something that could emerge over longer periods of time.
We'll be watching closely. And finally, I have to ask, the FTC this week, Emily, challenged hundreds of drug maker patents, including for Ozempic. It's trying to, as we understand, chip away at what it regards as patent ploys intended to stall generic competition. What do you make of that? Could we see generic competition becoming an issue for Novo in this space?
This is certainly something that has been around for quite some time. But I would say that one thing that is relatively unique to Novo Nordisk is that supply is so important here, and there are going to be so many patients taking these drugs. And it's obviously not just a pill. It does require putting the drug into a little pen. So they will lose patent protection, perhaps 2032, something like that. But it's going to be really hard for a generic company to come in with scale to really displace this market. So we actually are modeling, just as an example, down, let's call it 15% per year for Ozempic once it goes off patent versus a typical oral solid drug, which would be down like 80%. So we think that this market, at least as how the generic story will evolve, is also somewhat unique.
I've been speaking to Emily Field, the head of European Pharmaceutical Equity Research at Barclays. Emily, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for What's News for this Thursday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant. Our supervising producer was Christina Rocha. And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. And until then, thanks for listening.
ServiceNow is the intelligent platform that puts AI to work for people across every corner of your business, all in a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow.